Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello.
Because the Lord is my shepherd, in a meadow grass, yeah. And then he leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing hand, and he helps me to do what I
everyone. I hope that you enjoyed that little music interlude. I know that I was so enjoying it, just knowing that I'm safe in his arms. And how appropriate, what an appropriate song to be playing for Breaking the Silence with Hope Alliance and yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce. And on tonight, we just want to talk about a little bit about domestic violence and the statistics, especially among African-American women, and also the statistics among those who are Christians. It was very alarming today as I was doing a little research and looking some things up, and just finding out that, again, in the church, there is just not enough talk about domestic violence. There's not enough talk about husband love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There's not enough talk about how is it that a man can say he loved himself and hurt himself, and that's what he's doing when he's hurting his wife. And so I'm wondering in my own sanctified mind how many pastors, how many leaders during the month of October actually talk about domestic violence and not do it from like a sidebar, not do it as a blurb in their bulletins, not do it as putting up something up on the wall that is domestic violence Awareness Month, but actually address the issue with their congregation. I wonder in my own sanctified mind, hallelujah, how many pastors are really addressing this issue. And so as we begin to talk about it, as we begin to look at it from that perspective, I just want you to be mindful, that this is an issue. This is still an ongoing issue. And one of the things that I had placed in my blurb or in my information, if you had an opportunity to read it, it was talking about how unfortunate it is that domestic violence is still at an epidemic proportion. It's even sad to know and to see that domestic violence, even in the church, that it's a growing number, that it's a growing number amongst our teen girls. It's a growing number, especially among African-American women. I even went back to do a little research because, and I'm really not trying to bash, but I went back and did some research to find out what had our own Juanita Bynum done since she had was all in the limelight with the domestic violence case with her and Bishop Weeks. I wanted to see if she was doing anything in the forefront. When that came on the scene, I was so like, oh, God, maybe now it's going to get the attention that it needs in the church. But people were so busy blaming her and saying, you know, she's dead and nobody really knows her and things of that nature until it died down. I was for sure, I was for certain that we were going to have somebody who would be at the forefront, especially in the auspices of the Christian community, especially in the auspices of those of us who know Christ, to be able to be a spokesperson to the body of Christ that domestic violence is not something that we want. The thing that bothered me most with that whole scenario was the fact that these were two leaders from the body of Christ who now has been shoved into the forefront, into the limelight, if you will, with domestic violence. And then, again, we hushed it. Again, we covered it up. Again, we didn't address it. And so I think it is at a disadvantage for those of us who are in the church not to be able to have anyone who's willing to talk about it. In my reading and in my research, it was stated that T.D. Jakes did make mention of it at Potter's House. He did make mention of it. He talked about how it was something that should not be heard of amongst the body of Christ and things of that nature. But again, it was died down. I can't say for certain. I cannot say for certain. So let me just retract some things. I can't say for certain that this is not a topic that's being talked about in a lot of churches, but I can say that the evidence of it or what I'm seeing in the statistics and the stats is that it's not being done effectively. How about that? And so we need to begin to effectively communicate domestic violence. Again, I adjure those of you who are leaders. I adjure those of you who work with the women's ministry. I adjure pastors, bishops, apostles, to talk about it from the aspect of, even if you just teach it from the standpoint of a biblical standpoint where you talk about husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. If you come from that scripture alone and begin to just really, really sear into the mindset of men, sear it into the mindset of women, wives, respect your husbands, you know, admonish him, do benevolence is something that should be given. And when we talk about benevolence, of course, we're talking about showing the right, giving of yourself, benevolence. We look at it oftentimes when we hear the word benevolence, it comes from benevolence aid. But this is something that we're talking about, that there should be a giving. There should be that they should each reciprocate one another when we're talking about showing love, showing respect. It should be something that should be done on both sides. And so as we just begin to talk about it a little bit, I'm asking those of you who are on the line, if you would be so kind as to put something on Facebook. Again, go to our page, Hope Alliance, Inc., on Facebook, and make a comment with reference to what we're speaking of on today. Okay, I got a little ahead of myself, and we are going to open now with a word of prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now, O Lord God, and we come, God, because the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, O Lord God, and we come, O Lord God, with a sensitive area in the body of Christ, O Lord God. We come now, O Lord God, to bring awareness, O God, to something that is growing at epidemic proportions, O Lord God, even amongst our teens, O Lord God. So we come now, God, just praying and asking that Holy Spirit will reveal to us, O Lord God, and open our eyes, open the eyes of our understanding, open up our enlightenment, O Lord God, as to how to address this issue in the body of Christ, O Lord God, in that it would effectuate change, O God. So we just love you and we just honor you on today, God, and we thank you, O Lord God, for those who are on the line, O Lord God, that we will be the beginning of a start to share, O Lord God, domestic violence and eradicate it from ourselves, O Lord God. We come and we pray for those, O God, who are silent in the pews, O Lord God, who are going through domestic violence in the church, O Lord God. We pray now in Jesus' name, O Lord God, that you would begin to minister to them, O Lord God. We pray now, Father, that you would begin to heal the brokenhearted, O Lord God, and begin to restore, O Lord God, them in their wounded place, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we just love you and we just honor you the more on today, Father, in the mighty matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So what I was doing on today, and as I was just kind of preparing some things for tonight's episode, because I really want to do it in a more excellent way when we talk about it. So I was looking up the women of color in the health data, and I looked up how women African American women are ones are high at a high rate of heart attacks. We are the one at a high rate of the new cases of HIV and AIDS. We're at a high rate of strokes. We're at a high rate. I mean, as I was looking through these statistics, African American women are leading in a lot of illnesses, and so I have put down that there is another silent killer. We talk about how strokes are a silent killer. We talk about how many things when we talk about sickness and disease, there are silent killers. But domestic violence is also a silent killer, and it is something that is growing. That is growing in our statistics and our stats, and so. We just want to begin to talk about the silent killer. We want to find out what it is that we can do to assist. Maybe those of you who are on the line and you have a relationship with your pastor, you know, go to them and ask them what is it that they are doing this month to bring awareness to domestic violence. What is it that they're doing to let the women know, to let the men know that there is a way that they can get past domestic violence. There is a way that this thing can be addressed. And so as we begin to look at this, there were listed how some of the things in the church that we can do, and I believe we touched bases on this, about why is domestic violence such a growing problem, especially among the African-American community and especially among the Christians. And one of the things is that they don't know what domestic violence is. They don't know what domestic violence is. And domestic violence is an act that takes place every 12 to 15 seconds. It is rare that a week goes by without hearing about a husband, a boyfriend, a lover who has assaulted or killed his wife or girlfriend. Call any police precinct, and they will tell you that the lions share their calls and that their calls are not related to just robberies, drugs, and drunks, but domestic violence disputes. That's the larger number. And we hear about domestic violence. We hear about it, especially when it makes the forefront in the NFL, that whole rights situation. We hear about it. It was something that was in the forefront during that particular thing because it was in the limelight, if you will. But it happens to people every day. Somebody's dealing with domestic violence, and they don't know how to address it. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do because it's an issue that's not being taught. It's an issue that's not being on the forefront of the mind, not even in the month of October. And so every year for the entire month is dedicated to this prevalent issue, and yet we still have the problems in schools and things of that nature. Trait two is that they don't know the warning signs. And again, we try to show you on our blog talk some of the traits, some of the warning signs, some of the red flags when we talk about issues of dating. We want to stop it even before it starts. That when women are dating, when you're praying and asking God who it is that you need to be with or things of that nature, you want to look for some red flags because things have gotten cunning. Men now seek women who are in the church because we're more open, we're forgiving, we're loving, and unfortunately they prey on that type of mentality. And so we have to know the warning signs, know the red flags to somebody who has some issues, you know, with that. Now, here's the thing, and this is just downloaded from heaven because of the teaching that I received through the AEN, the Apostolic Ecumenical Network. And the thing that it is that even if this is a person who comes into your life who is showing some triggers and things of that nature, and you see some red flags, but you believe that this is the person who God has called you to be with, then That's when prayer and intercession on your behalf is really going to have to be bumped up to a level to see what's going on, to ensure that you're standing in the gap as an intercessor. God has placed that person in your life for a reason and for a season, and you want to make sure that you're praying, that you're interceding, that you're intervening, and that you know you're encouraging this person to get some help because you've seen some things that are not Christ-like, if you will, that maybe it's an area where they need some assistance. And so we need to know the warning signs. In today's society, every woman actively engages in dating and seeking a mate. Wrong answer, as my apostle would say. First of all, women, we need not be seeking, dating, and things of that nature. I think if we put things back in the perspective order, that would help. Now, I don't want to take away from the subject matter at hand. If you find yourself in a position where you're seeking out dating, where you're seeking out a mate, then yes, definitely, definitively, you need to know warning signs. You need to know what those red flags are, and you need to research some things because the enemy has some booby traps set up for us when we do things out of the will and out of the order of God. And so we want to make sure that we're praying and that we're not falling into the traps that the enemy is setting. Abusers give off warning signs, and they use certain techniques and tricks to turn their victims into, put their victims rather into a vice grip like clutch. With domestic violence, persuasive, not knowing the warning signs of abusers, self-alienation. I advise all ladies not to date until they can identify abusers. Ladies who don't know or refuse to learn these telltale signs are soft, explorative targets. You can be exploited, and you are drawn into these hardened men. And trust me, again, I say that this is an area where we need to be praying. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, it talks about the things that a single woman needs to do. And it says that a single woman should give herself unto the Lord, how she can serve the Lord, how she can please the Lord. And in doing so, she's learning some things. Watch this. And her sensitivity in the spirit realm is so open that she knows what's going on. Her discernment is keen, and she knows what's going on, getting built up in the area of warfare and things of that nature. When you are ministering and serving the Lord and ministering to him as you should, then you're less likely to be open to this. So it's imperative that we learn how to know the warning signs. Next is that they intentionally ignore the warning signs. You know, He just slapped me that one time, or, you know, he was angry. I made him angry, and we're making excuses for the warning signs. These are warning signs, and we're making excuses. If a man, I'll say it now, and I'll continue to say it, if a man finds it easy to cuss out his mother, trust me, he's going to find it easy to curse you out. And so you need to begin to look at that and not, you know, just, you know, let it pass you by. So you need to, we need to pay attention to these telltale signs and not ignore the things that are going on. Short-tempered triggers, when they're short-tempered, and, you know, people who are abusers or who have the traits of an abuser is a person who does not take criticism well. They blow everything out of proportion. You can say your shirt don't match your pants, and they will have a hissy fit. And you're standing there wondering, like, wow, it wasn't that serious. But they are, like, boiling over and fuming. That's a trait. That's a trigger. That's a red flag. And you need to pay attention to that. And so we need, as we begin to look at these things and begin to take note of these things, we cannot ignore. We cannot be pulled into the again booby trap of the enemy. One of the other traits is that some women believe that they can change the abusers. Some women believe that they can change the abusers. Now, I can definitively say you cannot change anybody. That's not your job, okay, first and foremost. The change has to come through the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary. Salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. You are not anyone's savior. Don't think that if you get married, things are going to get different. One thing that I can say is that sometimes the abusers are people are very, very mindful of being nice to you, but they're pushing, you know, being in a committed relationship, or they're pushing getting engaged, they're pushing getting married, because, you know, it's hard to keep that wolf under that sheep's clothing for a long time. So they're trying to rush into something in order that they not throw it off course or let you see what their true behavior is like. So you have to, first of all, know that you cannot change anyone. Don't fall into that trap of the enemy trying to make you feel like, you know, you got what it takes to get them, you know, to change, as opposed to leading them to Jesus Christ. It's a difference. Our job is to evangelize. Our job is to witness for the Lord. But let's witness for the Lord and ensure that, you know, the person has accepted Christ and that there are some changes and things that are going on in his life, you know, to get him where he needs to be in Christ. Or her. I don't want to, again, I don't ever want it to make it sound like men are the only perpetrators. There are women who commit domestic violence. And so, billions of women over the past 2,000 years fail at their attempt to convert dishonorable males into honorable men. Some women refuse to accept this truth. Women cannot change men. Secretly, many of these women have convinced themselves that their physical beauty, sexual prowess, feminine wiles and magnetic personalities are powerful enough forces to magically convert a man of low caliber, I'm just going to say. We have to understand abusive males, especially repeat offenders, love these type of women. So we don't want to be pulled into this type of mindset. We want to be prayerful. We want to be prayerful. We want to be prayerful. And so trait number five is that they don't know what true love is. You know, oftentimes we're looking for love, or we're so desperate for love, until the first person that pays attention to us, we're pulled into this trap. And one thing that I've noticed or that in research have found out is that a lot of abusers are people who are very eloquent in speech. They dress to the nine. They got on the right cologne. They know exactly what to say to pull you in. And so we have to be careful and not be so geared minded toward getting married that we're not trying to find out what God has to say about that situation. And so we need to know what true love is. We need to find out and go back and study in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and begin to, you know, find out what love really is. And then use that as a guideline, you know, when you're talking to somebody or when somebody approaches you and tell you that they know God has sent you to be their wife. You want to find out, do they have the attributes of 1 Corinthians 13? More importantly, do they exemplify the fruit of the Spirit? Come on, somebody. And so as we begin to look at that and when we start talking about that, we have to know what true love is so that we can recognize true love when God sends it our way. And then we need to be able to recognize the wolf that's in sheep clothing. So love is not blind. It is the men and women who are naive and unlearned who are blind. Love is not blind, but people who want love or who are so desperate to have love, they're blind because they close their eyes to the warning signs. They're closing their eyes to the things that are not of God. Amen. Another thing is that we have to become concerned when you don't know him and people are trying to tell you some things about the person. Be open. I'm not saying take what they're saying as law, but let the Holy Spirit lead you you into all truth. Amen, somebody. And so we have to begin to pray. We have to begin to pray. We have to begin to listen. The hard truth is that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality that you may not have seen or may have seen and you've disregarded, we have to begin to take note of that. Domestic violence, when it comes to domestic violence, and then talking about it in the auspices of the Bible and what God would have us do, is a sensitive subject, because I find that most pastors, or some pastors, in my opinion, find it hard to minister to those with domestic violence, because it seems like they're advocating divorce, and that's really, really not what we want to do. We're not advocating divorce. We're advocating husbands loving their wives, wives respecting their husbands, children being obedient to the family. We're advocating family. And so when you talk about ministering to somebody biblically and taking a biblical stand on it, we have to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable. I specifically remember going and singing at this church, and I gave my own testimony about going through domestic violence, and the pastor was not pleased with me, and got up, I'm told, by a friend, because I wasn't a member of that church, but got up that following Sunday and told the congregation that he didn't want nobody coming in there getting people business, and that we need to learn how to mind our own business. And it really, really grieved me in my spirit to hear that this pastor would get up and make such a remark. And it probably would have grieved him had he known that there were women coming to me after the service who were deacons' wives and was telling me that they were going through domestic violence. You know, we have to be very sensitive, and we can no longer, as pastors and leaders, we can no longer do it the old way. We can no longer do it the old way, especially when the old way wasn't the right way. Hello, somebody. We've got to begin to change some things. I was reading an article about Kodak. And you know, Kodak was once upon a time like the number one firm that had to do with taking pictures and your cameras and everything. It was Kodak. Well, I was told that Kodak went down. Kodak did not want to embrace the newness. When the newness came as far as taking it over to the internet and doing things like paperless pictures and things of that nature, they didn't grasp it. They didn't take it in. And because of it, they went down and almost crashed into something. I think they're still trying to rebound and get some things, have some new and fresh ideas to come in. But we have to be willing to change it, but we have to be really willing to revamp as the Holy Spirit leads us. Okay, I am so enlightened and so just loving on God for what he's doing in our life on today. We stopped at trait number 6 with reference to an open letter to Christian pastors and clergy about domestic violence. That's what we've been talking about today. And so we'll pick up with number 6 and continue on talking about domestic violence. Again, spread the word. Spread the word to your pastor. Spread the word to your elect lady to call in, to listen, and let's have some dialogue. This is Pastor Katie Pierce with Breaking the Silence with Hope Alliance, Inc., and we are representing the voice. We are the voice. Silent cry that is in the pew. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for your word, oh, Lord God. We thank you now, God, for those who are on the line, oh, Lord God. We pray now, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would be a very present help in the time of trouble, oh, Lord God. We pray it now in Jesus' name, oh, Lord God. And we pray now, God, in Jesus' name, that we'll know how to minister to anyone who may come to us in this area of a need, oh, Lord God, that we'll know how to minister to them from your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. So we love you. We honor you, and we bless you the more on today. In Jesus' name we pray. It is so, and so it is. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to your calling in and being a part of this Blog Talk Radio on next week, 7:30 Central Standard Time until 8 o'clock. Until then, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.